presents that I feel for hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
That's right.
Because hundreds and hundreds of dollars can do a lot, but it can't give you what I feel in my soul tonight. I'm thankful for the presence of God. Well, if you have a Bible tonight, turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians tonight. Now, you're going to have to keep your Bibles open tonight because we're going to be going in the Bible in several places tonight as we preach this message tonight. So keep your Bibles handy and on your lap tonight. But we're going to sink our teeth, first of all, in that in Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, and we're going to start with verse number 10. One verse here in the book of Galatians. This is going to be our starting point tonight. But we're going to be going to several other places tonight as we move along in this message tonight. And when you're finding, you can stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 10. And as we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Notice this. As we have therefore opportunity. Notice that word opportunity. And I want to talk to us tonight from this thought. An opportunity for a miracle.
Yeah.
An opportunity for a miracle. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have to be in this house. Father, I pray tonight for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That God, that you would come and anoint this frail clay. Knowing that God, I can do nothing without you. I depend on your touch. I depend on your grace. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint the ears that hear this word. Let them receive the word of God tonight. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that I do no harm or violence to thy word. That I would only speak that you put in my heart. Nothing more, nothing less. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. An opportunity for a miracle. Now as you study the word of God, from Genesis on through to the book of Revelation, as you begin to dive into the Bible, begin to study to show yourself approved, you come to a conclusion. As you begin to study the Word from Genesis on throughout the book of Revelation, you come to a conclusion. And that conclusion is this, that God is a God of miracles.
Amen.
That God is a God of miracles. You'll find His miracle working power in the beginning, and you find His miracle working power in the ending. And all between Genesis and all the way through Revelation, in between is nothing but miracle after miracle after miracle. You cannot separate God from miracles, because miracle and God go hand in hand, because He is a miracle working God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He started in the book of Genesis. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And church, that is a miracle of God. In the beginning is the miracle. In the end is a miracle. And all between is miracles. I thank God tonight that He is a miracle working God. The Bible tells you and I this. In Hebrews 13 verse 8, it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean, preacher? That simply means this, that God worked miracles yesterday. God's going to be working miracles today. And tomorrow, He'll still be a miracle working God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He ever done a miracle, He's still doing them today. If He was never a healer then, He's still a healer now. He has not changed. Oh, time has, man has, but God remains the same. Oh, Hannibal Santa. He is still a miracle working God. And church, I don't know about you, but that thrills me on the inside to know that I got a God that's behind me and walking with me who performs miracles.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I know today in this hour that we live in, there's a lot of twice dead, plucked up by the roots preachers that tell you and I that the days of miracles are over. But church, I'm here to tell you, the days of miracles are not over. They're still real today. You've come too late to tell me that my God does not perform miracles. I look over this congregation tonight. I see miracle after miracle. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about a miracle working God.
Praise God.
I'm talking about a God that took my sister who was 13 years on drugs and saved her and filled her and baptized her with the Holy Ghost. Don't you tell me that God is not working miracles. I'm talking about a miracle working God. I'm talking about a God that stopped the sun in the sky for Joshua, for amen, so he could go ahead and win the battle. I'm talking about a God that delivered the children of Israel from the jackbooted heels of Pharaoh and left all Pharaoh and all his crack legions sucking salt water as they walked through on dry ground. I'm talking about a miracle working God, and he's still in the miracle working business.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I don't know if that does for you what it does for me. Woo! I'm going to tell you, can I just stop and shout a while about that? Praise the name of my Redeemer. I'm talking about a God that still does it. I'm talking about a God that can put brand new eye sockets inside of eyes. Woo! I'm talking about a God that can take an old dirty sinner and cleanse him and wash him as white as snow. I'm talking about a God that can make the lame legs to walk and heal the blinded eyes and raise the dead. He is still that God, and he's still working tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Regardless of what men say, he's still God and he still works miracles.
Yes. Amen.
Now I want to talk to you tonight about an opportunity for a miracle. There is an opportunity in this place tonight to receive a miracle.
Amen.
Did you hear me tonight? There is an opportunity in this house to receive a miracle. You know why I love church? Because every church service is an opportunity. Well, are you hearing me? Every church service is an opportunity to receive a miracle. Now I noticed tonight in the Bible, as I begin to study and God begin to talk to me, I begin to realize there's three types of people in the Bible. Now there may be more than this, but I know of three types of people you'll find in the Scripture. You have number one, opportunity takers. Number two, opportunity makers. And number three, opportunity breakers. Let me say it again. Opportunity takers, opportunity makers, and opportunity breakers. Now I want to look tonight at these three thoughts tonight. First of all, let's look at an opportunity taker. Do you know what an opportunity taker is? An opportunity taker is someone, when they're presented with an opportunity, they seize it. They do not let it pass them by. An opportunity taker is somebody that seizes an opportunity when it's presented to them. Now let's look tonight at a person like that. Go with me in your Bible to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Acts 3, we're going to start reading with verse number 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse number 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask of alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take up your bed and walk.
Amen.
Now, church, here we have a story of a man that was laid at a gate called Beautiful. Now, that gate may be called Beautiful, but there was nothing beautiful about this man's condition. This man was a helpless shape. This man was lame from his mother's womb. He was born into this world unable to walk, which he is a good picture of humanity today, lost without God, unable to walk in righteousness, unable to walk in the ways that God would have him to walk. We're born into this world spiritually crippled. Here this man is, born into this world a cripple. Everywhere he went, somebody had to carry him. They had to carry this man from point A to point B because he was crippled. And they laid him in front of a gate called Beautiful. There was nothing beautiful about this man's condition. There was nothing beautiful about this man's shape. But he was laid there day after day after day. He was sitting there with his little tin cup held out, asking and begging for alms. He made a living by begging. That was his occupation. That was the way that he lived. He was a beggar. And the Bible said, Peter and John, on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Here we have two preachers on their way to a place of prayer. And church, let me stop and tell you this. Thank God for preachers that will go pray. Glory to God. Thank God for men that will take time out of their day, out of their schedule, to get on their face before God. You know, that's the problem today. We don't have a whole lot of preachers that know how to pray anymore. We're too busy. Going here, going there. And so we do other things that take the place of prayer. But may I remind you, there is nothing that can take the place of prayer. I said there is nothing that can take the place of prayer. Oh God, give us men that will pray and touch the throne of God, that will grab a hold of the horns of the altar and bring heaven down to earth. God, give us men like Peter and John and drop everything to go to that hour and pray and touch the throne of God. Here we have two preachers going to pray at the ninth hour. The ninth hour was 3:00 in the afternoon. There was two hours of prayer in the Bible. They would pray at 9:00 in the morning, the Jew would, and also at 3:00. But I find that very interesting because the Bible talks about two types of sacrifices. The morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. The morning sacrifice was at 9 a.m. The evening sacrifice was at 3 p.m. Here we have, did you know Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m.? But at 3 p.m. he was completely dead and they took him off the cross at the time of the evening sacrifice. Here we have Peter and John going, the time of the evening sacrifice. Oh, thank God for men who take and obey God and pray and do what God commands. Here they go to that temple. They just came freshly out of an upper room. I'm talking about all Jerusalem in an uproar because they were filled with the Holy Ghost in an upper room. These boys came full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have something off the internet or some other kind of a thing. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said as they went into that temple, here the Bible said they looked upon this man that was a beggar, and that beggar looked on them. Peter said, look on us. And that beggar thought, oh, I'm going to get some money today. He said he looked on him expecting to receive something from him. I can see that old beggar. I don't know his name, but let's call him Bubba. I can see old Bubba sitting there. Oh, hallelujah. Old Bubba had his tin cup hanging out. Oh, begging for alms, thinking Peter and John was going to give him a little money. Old Bubba's thinking he's going to get a little silver in that tin cup. But the big fisherman Peter said, son, you know, silver and gold have I none. In other words, he was saying, what you're about to receive, if you'll take the opportunity, your little tin cup cannot hold. I'm talking about a cup that runneth over. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take up your bed and walk. Get up them little legs and walk.
Yes, right.
Now when he said, take up your bed and walk, this little man, Bubba, was presented with an opportunity. Now old Bubba probably saw, when he said, take up your bed and walk, I see old Bubba thinking, now hold on, I've never walked before. Yeah. What makes that man think that I can walk? The more Bubba thought about it, old Bubba probably thought, now I make my living by begging. And if I get up and start walking, my disability goes right out the window. Somebody will shout. Glory to God. But he thought, well, little while longer, old Bubba said, I'd rather go out there and lay brick than beg for another day if I don't have to beg. You know, church, I think, you know, there's a lot of people not get healed if they didn't want to get rid of their disability check. Man, if I get healed, you know, I can't draw that check anymore, honey. Why don't you get healed? Get out there and get you a job. Oh, chair home time. I know this ain't popular preaching, but old Bubba thought I'd rather throw the tin can down and get up my legs and walk. And he was presented with an opportunity, and he took it. He took the opportunity. And the Bible said Peter reached out his hand, and he lifted him up. And church, I can see the more bones and Bubba's legs had never walked. All of a sudden, they began to straighten out. And the Bible said, old Bubba, amen, walked into the temple, leaping and praising God. Oh, church, let me tell you, he took the opportunity. He was an opportunity taker. And church, he seized the opportunity when it was presented to him.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He didn't have all day to think about it.
No.
Well, let's just wait till tomorrow. Let me think this thing through. Listen, the opportunity must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. If he sat there and thought, well, let me think this thing through to tomorrow, the opportunity done passed. But he seized it. This was a once in a lifetime offer. And he took it. Oh, church, I don't know about you, but I want to be an opportunity taker when that opportunity is presented to me. I want to take it. I don't want to have to think it through. I want to just grab it when it's presented to me.
Praise the Lord.
He was an opportunity taker. Now, let's look at opportunity makers tonight. Do you know what an opportunity maker is? An opportunity maker is this. Someone that hasn't had an opportunity presented to them, but they made an opportunity where there was no opportunity. What do you mean? Let's look at somebody like that tonight. Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. Let's see here. That'll pass it here. Chapter 10, verse 46 says this. And there came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway of begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him to hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus said unto him, what will you do? What should I do unto thee? And the blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made thee whole. Here we have a man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway of begging. And the Bible said Jesus was passing through Jericho. Here this man is. He heard all the noise and all the turmoil. He said, what's going on? What's all this ado about? What's all this noise about? And the Bible said that this is Jesus coming through. Jesus of Nazareth, he said. This is Jesus of Nazareth. The miracle working man that I've heard so much about, is this him? Jesus was passing through. No word do you read in this particular scripture where Jesus was going to come to him. He was on the highway begging. Jesus was coming through. All of a sudden, the Bible said he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Praise God.
He began to cry out with a loud, glorifying tone. And those around him said, son, hush. They charged him for him to hold his peace. In other words, they said, son, you don't have to get so excited. But he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, the blind man Bartimaeus knew something. This may be my last opportunity for me to get a hold of this Jesus of Nazareth, and I've got to stop him. He didn't let no obstacle get in his way. You know, when you really get passionate about God, when you really begin to get hungry for God, there's going to be all kinds of people tell you, you don't have to be so enthusiastic. You don't have to be so emotional. You don't have to really holler and praise God the way you do. Well, church, I got news for you. When I need something from God, they may not be blind, but I am. They may not need a touch from God, but I do. You can sit there with your religious amen attitude all you want, but I've got to get hold of Jesus. And if I've got to cry out to the very top of my voice to do so, I will do it. I may never get this opportunity again. And he made himself an opportunity. Now let's look at another woman that made an opportunity. Go with me to Matthew 15. The Bible said when Jesus, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew 15. The Bible said Jesus stopped when he heard Bartimaeus cry out. The Bible said he stood still. Faith always stops God. Faith always moves God. The Bible said, rise, be of good comfort, he calls thee. The Bible said when Bartimaeus got up, you know what he did? Listen to me. The Bible said he took off his garment and left his garment there. You know what that tells you? See, beggars had a garment that they wore. When this blind man got up, he left that garment behind because he knew I'd never need that old begging garment again. Well, glory to God. Somebody ought to get up out of the garment of doubt. Somebody ought to leave the garment of religion down here. Somebody ought to leave that garment of unbelief down here and go toward Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
When I got born again, I didn't need that old garment of sin anymore. Well, I left it at an altar. Glory to
praise
God.
Praise the Lord.
You'll get that tomorrow, church. Glory to God. Matthew 15. Let's see here. Verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Yeah. And the Bible said in verse 23, he answered her not a word. And the disciples said, Lord, send her away. She cries after us. But he said, and he answered and said to the woman, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came worshiping him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not proper for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, of a truth, Lord, but even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Here we have a woman who was not presented with an opportunity. The Bible said she heard Jesus was coming by her way. She left her coat and came to him, began to cry after him. Jesus, thou son of David. You know that word, thou son of David, was a messianic cry. She recognized him as the Messiah. She was a Gentile. She was an outcast. Amen. Jews didn't like her. Jews didn't like her kind. Israel could not notice that he was a Messiah. But yet this little Gentile girl noticed something that Israel could not notice. He was the Messiah. Amen. And the Bible said she came crying after him. And the disciples said, Lord, send her away. She cries after us. And she said, Lord, help me. My daughter's vexed with the devil. Yeah. And the Bible said Jesus answered her not a word. Now, right there will be a lot of folks get offended. Yeah. You pray, you seek, touch God, you ask God, you fast, you pray, but it seems like the heavens are silent. Jesus answers you not a word. I thought he really cared for me. Why ain't he talking to me? And we just get angry and bitter at God because he answers us not a word. And the Bible said, send her away. And then Jesus then, finally, he talks to her. He said, honey, he said, I'm not sent to the outcast. I'm sent to the house of Israel. In other words, he was saying to her, you're not of the right denomination right now. She could have been offended at that. Then he went on a little deeper and said, it's not proper for me to give the children's bread to a dog. He called her a dog. How would you like to be called a dog? How many would be offended at that? But this woman pushed her, listen to me, she pushed her emotions and feelings to the side. She didn't wear her feelings on her shoulder. Amen. She knew she needed something from God, and she couldn't afford to get offended.
That's right.
It's one thing to be offended in your head, but it's quite another to let that offense go down to your heart.
That's right.
You can be offended here, but don't let it touch that heart.
Praise.
But she realized, my need, my offense, hey man, I've got a daughter that needs help. I've got a daughter that needs touch from God. I can't let my emotions rule me. I can't let my feelings dictate me. And she said, Lord, I make me a dog. I don't doubt that, God. I am a dog. But even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, daughter, he said, go in faith. Great is thy faith. He said, you know, I've not failed this kind of faith all the time. He said, Israel, won't you look at this little dog here? She's got more faith. If you gotta push everybody to the side, if you gotta be offended, just do what you gotta do. But get a hold of God, regardless of what people say.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen to God.
I can't tell you how many times I prayed, never heard a word. Matter of fact, I'm praying some things right now. I've not heard nothing. I could be offended at that. God, I pray every day. You know my life.
Yeah.
I can hear God say, do you really have faith? Mm-hmm. Faith says, I don't have to hear nothing to know I'll move in your behalf.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Well, glory.
Thank you, Lord.
You can be an opportunity taker. You can be an opportunity maker. You know what? Blind Bartimaeus, you know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Mm-hmm. I won't go through that story. She was an opportunity maker as well. Bartimaeus, the Syrophoenician woman, and the woman with the issue of blood, all three of these, you know what they had in common? Mm-hmm. They didn't have an opportunity to present it to them. They made one. Mm-hmm. And they all three had obstacles, but they didn't let them stand in their way.
That's
right. Sometimes you've got to push through doubt, unbelief, Pharisees, Sadducees, religious spirits. But whatever you got to push yourself through, push it. Make a way where there is no way.
Yes, please.
You know what? Let me tell you this. Sometimes to receive something from God, you've got to get aggressive with God.
That's right. He said, come boldly.
Yeah, come boldly before the throne of grace. Bartimaeus, this Syrophoenician woman, and the woman with the initial blood, you know what they were? They got aggressive with God.
Yeah.
Church, Jacob became an opportunity maker. He told that man he was wrestling with, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, you got to let me go. He was wrestling with God. And church, that's what prayer is. When you truly get down and dusty with God, you're wrestling, you're praying, you're interceding. God said, let me go. But Jacob said, I'll let you go. Oh, only when you bless me. Only when you give me my request. That's praise getting God. Aggressive with God.
Yes. Praise God.
Get aggressive with Him. God loves aggressive people.
Yes, He does.
The kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force.
Amen.
Thank you.
Woo! We're too passive. You know, we can be real bold toward people. But church, there's times to be bold toward God. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about having respect, but you can come boldly.
Amen.
You can come boldly and say, God,
yeah,
I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep bombarding heaven until you save my loved one. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep coming to your throne until you get tired of seeing my face. Ooh, glory. But I believe that He never gets tired of seeing our face.
No, He don't.
I know, and I'm stuttering there, but You ought to feel what I'm feeling. God, hallelujah, sir, I'm alive. If you get to feel a little down with this, you might stutter as well. You might sound like Porky the Pig too. Blah, 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 blah. It's awful. I seen my mentor, Brother David Owens, he was preaching one time in Pottsville. He must have been feeling what I'm feeling tonight because he got really tongue-tied. He said, blah, blah, blah. He said, that's all, folks. Right? I borrowed that from him. Opportunity takers, you want to be. Opportunities makers, you want to be. But an opportunity breaker, you don't want to be. What is an opportunity breaker? An opportunity breaker is someone that had an opportunity but didn't do anything with it. Go with me to Matthew 13:58 real fast. Matthew 13:58. The Bible said in verse 58 of Matthew 13, and he did not many mighty works there in Nazareth because of his unbelief, because of their unbelief. Jesus was not able to do very many mighty works in his own hometown of Nazareth because of their unbelief. Do you realize the opportunity that the city of Nazareth had? The Son of God was born there. His glorious feet left his footprints in its soil growing up. His presence graced its synagogue on a daily basis. The opportunity that they had. But you know what they'd done with that opportunity? Nothing. All they could say is this. This is just the carpenter's son. Isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? You know what they were saying by that? Oh, this is just Jesus. I've been around people that had that. Oh, that's just Jesus. He's my homie. He's my Santa Claus in the sky. I've had people tell me that he's my homeboy. Church, he's not no homeboy.
No,
he's not some Santa Claus in the. He's not some sugar daddy in the sky. He is God's darling divine son. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he must be respected. You've got to see him more than just gentle Jesus. You've got to see him more than just Jesus. You've got to see him as he is. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bright of morning star. He's the glorious apple of God's eye. He's everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the ending. He's everything. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's got to be respected. He's got to be more than just Jesus, folks. You know what? They couldn't see him because he grew up there. They couldn't see him as the man of God that he was. That's just Jesus. You know, I felt that. I feel that sometimes in this area. Oh, that's just Nathan. That's not the man of God. That's just Nathan. We grew up. And therefore, the mighty works that he could have done there, he wasn't able to do. Man. You've got to see your preacher or your pastor or whoever it is that you sit under more than just whatever his name is. Yes. You've got to see him as the man of God.
That's truth, man.
He is the man of God. He hears from God. He ain't just Nathan. He ain't just your boy. He ain't just a preacher. He is the man of God of that church.
Amen. Right.
And you see him as that, respect him as that, and you might see some mighty works done there.
That's right. Amen.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
An opportunity breaker, they was. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They had the opportunity of being the most generous person in the early church, but because of their greed, they both dropped dead at an altar. They became opportunity breakers. Mm-hmm. One more verse and I'm done. I'm going to show you one more opportunity breaker. Go with me to 2 Kings real fast. I want you to see this. 2 Kings 13. And I'm done. 2 Kings 13. Elisha was sick and Elisha was about to die at this particular time. We'll just start reading with verse 14. Notice this. 2 Kings chapter 14. And Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Joash, the king of Israel, came unto him and wept over his face and said, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And the king put his hand upon the bow, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said to the king, open the window eastward. And he opened it, and Elisha said to the king, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Assyrians of Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And the king smote three times, and stayed. And he stopped. And the man of God was angry with the king of Israel and said, you should have smitten the ground 5 or 6 times. Then thou would have smitten Israel until you consumed them, whereas now you will only smite them 3 times. Now I want you to notice this. And the Bible said Elisha died and was buried. Now, I want you to notice this. The man of God, Elisha, was dying. And the king of Israel came to him and said, we've got an enemy named Syria. They're going to defeat us. We need help. And Elisha was at the point of death. And Elisha said, take you a bow. Open the window eastward. That window opened. You know what that window was? A window of opportunity.
Yes.
That window of opportunity was open. And the Bible says he put his hands upon the king's hand. You know what that sign of? Joint of authority. Now God's hand's on your hand. And he shot that arrow. And the Bible said that the arrow landed. And he said, take you another arrow. He said, pick that arrow up out of the ground and smite it on the ground. And the Bible said that king went out there to that arrow. Non-passionately picked that arrow up. Just 1, 2, 3. 3 times. And the Bible said Elisha was angry. He said, you idiot. He said, you should have hit the ground 5 or 6 times. And you would have consumed your enemy. But now you'll only defeat him 3 times. See, the window was shut at that moment. He had the opportunity, but he didn't seize the opportunity. He became an opportunity breaker. Church, there's an opportunity in this house tonight. You can be grand in the kingdom of God. And some of you may be presented with an opportunity, take it. But if you ain't got an opportunity to present it to you, then make you an opportunity. But don't be an opportunity breaker. The window will only stay open so long. But when that window shut, the opportunity seizes. Church, I'm telling you, I've been all three of these a time. I've been a maker, I've been a breaker, and I've been a taker. But God's help, I never want to be another breaker. And I may not have a lot of opportunities presented right now, but I'm going to start making some.
That's right.
How you going to do that? I don't know. But I'm going to cry out till I get a hold of him. He'll give me the wisdom that I need. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power and your spirit. God, you've spoke to us tonight. You've given us a fresh word from heaven.